Well, we continue on today our series, our summer series on the unknowns of the Bible. And we come today to Jonathan's armor bearer. The story is told for us in 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. I'm going to invite Stephanie to come up if she's ready to read. Come on up. Where we find ourselves as we're reading is the people of Israel are at war with the Philistines, which during the time of Saul, King Saul, was kind of constantly. They were at war with the Philistines. And this is one moment in that war with the Philistines that we hear. So I invite you to listen to these words of God, words from the book that we love.
But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sineh. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash and the other to the south toward Gibeah. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God.
This is the word of the Lord. There are a lot of similarities between the story that we just heard in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and the story of a man by the name of Sergeant Alvin York. Those of you who are older might remember the story of Alvin York. Maybe some of you who are younger know the name Alvin York. But Alvin York was a soldier in World War I with the 82nd Division of the American Army, who found himself fighting in France, in northern France, in 1918. Sergeant York came back from the war hailed as a hero. For while he was in the war there in northern France, Sergeant York was part of a movement whereby a very small group of men took captive 138 German prisoners in one day. Now, when Sergeant York got back from France, he was hailed a hero. He was given a ticker tape parade in New York City there, and people just hailed him as one of the greatest soldiers ever. And for those of us who are older, if you hear that name, Sergeant York, you think of a man of great bravery. There was even a movie made. Gary Cooper actually won an Oscar for playing Alvin York in the movie Sergeant Alvin York. What's interesting about the story, though, is this, and this is one of these things where I had this story in my head and I was all ready to tell it to you, and then I looked on the internet and it blew the whole story up. So don't look on the internet if you want to enjoy your stories. Because as I looked at the story of Sergeant Alvin York, just to kind of confirm the things that I had heard that by himself he had snuck around an enemy machine gun nest. He had stopped a charge cold of a German whole division of Germans. He had captured 132 people by himself. That's the story that was told in World War I, after World War I. The truth is a little bit different. Alvin York was part of 9 men who, through their efforts and their activities, brought about the surrender of those 132 German soldiers on that one particular day in the forests of France. Unfortunately, the only one who received any recommendation or any commendation and credit for this was Alvin York. He received a Distinguished Service Cross for his work, and it wasn't until some 11 or 12 years after First World War that two of the other nine received commendation for what had happened on that particular day. So Sergeant Alvin York brings to our mind this wonderful story of a man who did a lot by himself. And it turns out that he didn't do a whole lot by himself. In that way, we've got a lot of similarities to our story with Jonathan here. Because Jonathan, by his bravery, by his chutzpah, if you want to use a good Jewish word, a chutzpah, went out and he attacked these Philistines. He was victorious. And when we read the story, we think, wow, this guy did it all by himself. But the truth of the matter, very similar to the story of Sergeant Alvin York, is that this victory might not have been possible if it weren't for a man whose name we don't even know, Jonathan's armor bearer. Truly unknown to us because we don't even know his name, this armor bearer plays an important part in the victory of Jonathan on this particular day that we read about this morning. But even more to the point for us this morning, as we look at Jonathan's armor bearer, I want to point out that he has something to teach us about living the life of Jesus amongst the people of Jesus. And so it's in that capacity I'd like to consider, first of all, the role of an armor bearer. Now, an armor bearer, as the name suggests, was a person who carried the various weapons that a warrior might need in battle. The various stages and actions of a battle required different kinds of weapons. Back in the day before guns and so on and so forth. For long-range fighting, a warrior needed a bow and arrows. For mid-range fighting, a warrior needed a javelin. And when it got into close fighting, the warrior needed his shield, and he needed his sword, and he needed his spear. Now, if you're going to fight a battle as a warrior, trying to carry all this stuff gets a little bit cumbersome. And so the armor bearer was the person who came along and who carried those weapons and then would give the warrior the right weapons that he needed for what stage of the battle they found themselves in. But an armor bearer was more than a caddy. I kind of think about a cat. You know, he had a bag slung over his shoulder and he's following the golfer around. He's more than a caddy. Actually, the armor bearer was a trusted servant who would follow his master into the worst kind of fighting. An armor bearer didn't just stand and watch. He actually fought alongside of his master. The two acted like a team. The warrior would be the one that would attacking, and the armor bearer would often provide defense or would dispatch fallen foes behind the warrior so those people couldn't get back up and come at the backside of the warrior as he continued to fight the battle. The armor bearer then wasn't just somebody who was hired for his strong back and his weak mind, but rather, the armor bearer was a loyal man of action. And so as you read of the story of Jonathan's victory in 1 Samuel 14, the armor bearer, rather than being on the fringes of the battle, on the fringes of the fight, is right in the middle of it. But I want to talk, first of all, not so much about the fight and the role of the armor bearer in the actual battle, as I want to talk about, first of all, the armor bearer's attitude of encouragement. By the way, that's supposed to be bearers in your outline, not dearers. That was my own mistake there, but the armor bearer's attitude of encouragement. When Jonathan makes his suggestion in verse 6 of our text that the two of them attack a couple of thousand Philistines, not exactly what you would call a sensible decision, we read that the armor bearer simply says, sure, let's do it. In verse 7 of our text, we read Jonathan, armor bearer, saying this, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. In the message, we hear the armor bearer saying, "I'm with you all the way." Now, what we need to understand here is that although armor bearers were called to be loyal and to follow their masters wherever they led, this is above and beyond the call of duty. I mean, the man was expected to fight next to his master, possibly to the death if necessary, but I don't think suicide charges were in the contract. Yet this armor bearer not only encourages Jonathan as he gives this kind of rather harebrained scheme, hey, let's go attack a bunch of Philistines, but he also willingly follows Jonathan into the action. Now, why does he do this? Well, we could say, number one, maybe he's just a type A personality. He likes the risk, he likes to get his adrenaline up, and that's why he wants to do this. But I rather believe that this armor bearer does this because he is a man of faith. A man of faith. You see, I'm convinced that the armor bearer was a man who knew God's word and who took God at his word. Who took God at his word. In other words, God's promises were not fantasy for him, but reality. And so in Joshua 23, we are told that one of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, this armor bearer takes God at his word at face value. He trusts that God will indeed save, as Jonathan puts it in verse 6 of our text, by many or by few. Now, it only takes one reading of our story for this morning to see that Jonathan was a man of deep faith, a man who deeply trusted that God would be with him wherever he went. But as deep as Jonathan's faith was, however, he's not beyond the need for encouragement, and that's exactly what our unknown armor bearer gives. I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of verse 7, where the armor bearer speaks his words of encouragement, because Jonathan trusted the Lord to do miraculous things, but he still needed someone to encourage him to take this step, or we might even call it a leap, of faith. He needed someone who would say, "Yes, the Lord is with you. Go for it. I am with you." Now, encouragement of this kind is something that we all need, especially when it comes to living the life of faith. One of the truths of the life of faith is this, is that the life of faith is filled with challenges, both great and small. Walking as Jesus walked, trying to live as Jesus lived every single moment of our lives, will push us to our limits and often beyond our limits. It's hard for us to live and to walk and to try to be like Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And I'm convinced that the only way we're able to stay faithful is through the encouragement of those who walk the path of faith with us. Something I'd like you to keep in mind this morning is the fact that God has placed us in a community known as the church so that we need not walk the road of faith or run the race of faith alone. God has placed you here. He has placed me here. He has placed you and me in the church so that we might both encourage others and be encouraged by others. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. God saves individuals, but he saves them into a family. He saves them into a people. And the reason that God saves us into a family, the reason that God saves us into a people is so that we might encourage each other. We might build each other up. We might find opportunities to help each other grow in the faith or stand firm in the faith or deal with a difficulty that comes our way. God puts us in this family known as a church so that we might share both our victories and our challenges, both our doubts and our fears, both our times of strong faith and our times of weak faith. In giving us the gift known as the church, and by the way, I want to say that the church is a gift. Often we feel like it's not, but the truth is the church is a gift. God has given us the gift of the church, and his desire is that we live our lives face to face and heart to heart with one another, that we walk the road together. In God's plan, there's no such thing as the rugged individual Christian. In God's plan, we're all meant to encourage each other. The writer of Hebrews understood this, and And so, and some of my favorite words from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24, the writer of Hebrews says this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And I love how the Message puts this particular text. Let us see how inventive we can become, we can be in encouraging love and helping out. How inventive can you be in encouraging love and helping out? How can we find ways to strengthen each other? Now, I think as a church, this is extremely important for us right now. Not, I mean, it always is important for us to encourage and strengthen each other. But the reality is this, is we as a church are looking at stepping into the Church Renewal Lab come this fall. For 2 years, we're going to be working together to bring about a renewal in our lives, a renewal in our church. One of the things we need to understand about the Renewal Lab is that it's about personal renewal, first of all. What does it mean for me to be more and more a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ? And then it means for us as a church as well. What does it mean for us together to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And I can tell you this, that if we're going to go on this journey, if we're going to step into this journey of renewal, we're going to need encouragement. I'm going to need encouragement. Your leaders are going to need encouragement. And each of us, as we face our own challenges, where do I need to grow in Christ-likeness? We're going to need somebody standing beside us saying, go for it, you can do it. Jesus is with you. In his time of need, Jonathan's armor bearer was there providing support and encouragement. And the armor bearer lays a challenge before us, and that is to do the same, to be the same for each other. Now, I've shared with you before in the past some of these yellow encouragement cards. It's just an opportunity for you to write a word of encouragement and give it to someone. I put some of those on the back table. I'd love each of you to pick one up on the way out. And if you want to fill it out before the day and stick it in somebody's mailbox or hand it to them personally, please do that. We all have things that we're battling with. We all have areas where we need encouragement. And I want to encourage you to be encouragers. What's important for us, though, as we look at the story of the armor bearer is this. Armor bearer isn't only a man of words, he's also a man of action. I want to look for a few moments at the armor bearer's action. Notice that the armor bearer not only speaks words of encouragement, but he backs them up with what he does. He follows Jonathan right up the steep fifth cliff face into the teeth of the enemy, sometimes climbing with his hand on hands and knees to get up there, and he fights at Jonathan's side. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't leave Jonathan alone. He doesn't decide that things are just too hard and it's time to leave. He sticks it out. Again, this armor bearer gives us a challenge, and that is this. The challenge is to do more than talk. As important as words of encouragement are, and they are terribly important for us to encourage each other with words, there is a point where words become kind of meaningless if they're not backed up with action. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, talks about these kinds of words that are out there that aren't backed up with action as being like a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Noise. They're nothing but noise. We're called to action. And the action that we're called to, as I just talked about 1 Corinthians 13, what's 1 Corinthians 13 all about? Love. Yeah. The action that we are called to is the action of love. Now understand, remember, we've talked about this before, that love in the Scripture is not a noun, it's a verb. Which means it's an action. I can't just say, and the Apostle James talks about this a lot too, I can't just say, I love you, and then not do anything about it. Love is an action. The kind of love we're talking about is the kind of love that Jesus showed as he gave of himself, as he gave of his time, as he gave of his attention, as he gave of his life to those who were around him. Jesus went to dinner with outcasts like Zacchaeus and Matthew. Jesus touched lepers, a huge thing in his day. Jesus embraced children. He stood up for the down and out and for those who were struggling. I just before the service, I'm part of a Facebook page for Christian Reformed pastors, And somebody posted on there a description side by side of how Jewish rabbis and how Jesus see women and how they treated women. Jesus was constantly acting on behalf of those who were kicked to the outside or were in the fringes of society. Jesus got in a lot of trouble for the people he hung out with. That's love. We all, like Jonathan, need fellow believers around us saying things to us like, keep it up. You're being just like Jesus. Or someone who will say to us, don't worry about that failure. Jesus is still at work in your life. I think more of us would be willing to admit when we have failed as believers if we knew the person that we were talking to would say, it's all right. Jesus is still with you. He's still in your life. We need people who are actively encouraging us in this way. And Max Dupree, in his book entitled Leadership Jazz, calls those who offer this kind of life-giving commitment to others, this kind of life-giving presence to others, he calls them water carriers. He borrows this image from desert-dwelling tribes where the water carrier, someone who is kind of an everyday kind of person, it's an everyday activity. It's something that just kind of, you just maybe don't think about a whole lot, but he notes that water carriers make the life of the tribe possible. That water carriers who do the mundane chore of trudging down to the river, however far away it is, and bringing back the water, make it possible for everyone to live. And the challenge that he gives and the challenge that I'm giving you this morning is to be a water carrier. To do the everyday, normal things that bring life to the people who are around us. Because the truth is this, we're not talking about huge, heroic things that need to be done. I am not asking a single one of you to climb a cliff and attack a bunch of Philistines. You're welcome. I wouldn't stand a chance myself, so I'm not even going to try. That's not what I'm asking you to do. What we're being asked to do is to give time and attention. Time and attention. That's a big request in today's society. Because we're all scheduled full, aren't we? Even those of you who are retired, I talked to some of you who are retired. I had one retired guy say to me, I don't know how I ever had time for work. I'm so busy. And when we get busy, it's easy for us to not care about other people. Time and attention. Extremely important. The willingness demonstrated through our actions to let someone know that you really love them. That you really do care. Galatians 6 verse 2 calls us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. That sounds a lot like an armor bearer, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like a water carrier. Someone who's standing beside you, who's walking with you, who's lifting you up when you can't lift yourself up. Who says to you, I'm praying for you, even when you can't pray yourself. It's God's will that we love each other enough to do something about it. We love each other enough to demonstrate it to each other. So my question to you this morning is, who needs your time and your attention? Are there children in this church community or in your neighborhood that maybe just need someone to talk to them, listen to them? Maybe be reading helpers with you. I know some of you here are reading helpers in school, homework tutors. Are there elderly people who would just like someone to come and visit and sit down and give a little bit of your time? Are there people who are ill, maybe need you to do a simple thing like take out the trash or mow the lawn or whatever else it might be? That's the challenge this morning, is to open our eyes to see where it is that God wants us to be armor bearers, where he wants us to be water carriers for the people who are near us. Through faith, Jonathan's armor bearer found the strength both to speak and to do. And the wonderful thing that we need to realize is that the very same God who brought about victory through Jonathan and the armor bearer is with us today. This isn't a story about something that happened long ago that will never happen again. Stories of Scripture are not myths. They're not legends. They're stories about ordinary people like you and me through whom God does extraordinary things. That's the whole point of this series on the unknowns of the Bible, by the way. Let me remind you of that. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people who make themselves available. Availability is the best ability. A willingness to be there. And so today, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, of God living within you, I know that God will give you the words. I know that God will give you the courage and He will give you the resources to care for each other, to encourage each other, to fight for each other if necessary, to love one another deeply from the heart. And so it's my prayer that each of us might be an armor bearer, or if you don't like that image, be a water carrier. An armor bearer or a water carrier for those who are around us, so that we might help each other to live like Jesus and to love like Jesus through what we say and what we do. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we want to thank and praise you for the gift of encouragement, for the gift of brothers and sisters in Christ who are around us, who strengthen us, who encourage us to live the life of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will help us to be encouragers. We pray that you will help us to see the needs around us and to bless others with our time and our attention, with our willingness to listen and not just talk, with our willingness to be there, to strengthen, to serve, to bless in a variety of ways. We bless you, Father, that when your Son Jesus Christ came, he came as a servant. He himself said, I have not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. As we walk in his footsteps, Father, we ask that you will help us to give of ourselves. To give of ourselves to care for those who are in need, for the poor and the downtrodden, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are overwhelmed. Help us, Father, to love and to serve and to care for one another as you care for us. Give us the strength and the courage to do this, Father. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.